Well, thank you both for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Boy, 4th of July weekend's already here. Summer barbecues. Rarely do we think about food safety when I'm at my, you know, parents' house. We're having some burgers.
It's usually an afterthought. A lot of people don't plan ahead.
Yeah, but we should be thinking about that, Sarah.
Well, we should definitely be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Being outside and being at the picnics, and of course, we're right now, we're in the lot warmer weather.
Yeah.
Where it's getting into the 90s every day. We need to think about how we pack our food and how we're going to keep it cold, how we're going to keep it hot. Because we definitely don't want anybody that comes to our picnics to get sick.
That's right. And do you guys see that happening? I just don't hear about that, but maybe I'm
clueless.
You
don't really hear a lot about it, but the health department does get phone calls, you know, from people that ended up being sick, and they went to the emergency room, and the emergency room doctor tells them that, you know, they think it's probably food poisoning. And
oh, boy.
So a lot of people think it's usually the last place that they ate, and it sometimes doesn't boil down to that. Sometimes it can be from a restaurant, but sometimes it can be from something you did at home.
Yeah. So if you're having that family barbecue, what are some suggestions that you would give folks to
so
be safe?
I would definitely plan your menu ahead for ease and comfort of how you're going to keep things cold, how you're going to keep things hot. We'll start and talk a little bit about keeping the things that are cold. You can use insulated coolers. So if you bring things like raw meat that you're going to throw on a grill when you get to the picnic, or if you bring potato salad or anything that has mayonnaise in it, any cream pie things or things that have to be refrigerated, we definitely want you to plan ahead. Use insulated coolers, maybe pack ice packs in there with it. Or you can use, you know, bags of ice that you can dump in there.
Sure.
A good idea would be if you're going to have drinks like cans of soda or bottles of Gatorade or things like that, have a separate cooler for that. And the reason for that is if you're going to be getting drinks out of that cooler, you're going to be opening and closing that cooler quite often.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to have a separate cooler with your food products in there so that you keep that temperature cold in there.
Right.
So,
but boy, how many times have we went to a barbecue and that potato salad's been sitting out there for how long can something like that sit out?
Well, the general rule of thumb is 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
The safe rule of thumb is 2 hours.
Yeah.
And once you pull it out of refrigeration and it sits out, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't recommend using that product that's left over. At the end of the picnic, either throw it away while you're at the picnic, whatever's left over, or take it home and throw it away.
How about being safe on that grill? I mean, with you know, you're cooking chicken and burgers and hot dogs, and you know, we got pork and beef and chicken all kind of in the same thing.
That's
I see you're kind of smiling.
Well, that's exactly right, because everybody has their choice of what they want to eat.
Yes,
so.
Right.
You're right. So there's a lot of different kinds of bacteria that can be associated with different types of meat. So, for instance, with chicken, you know, we're worried about salmonella. So if you have raw chicken and you want to put it on the grill, we want to make sure that you cook it to the right temperature so that if there was salmonella on the chicken, that you're going to kill it in that cooking step.
Yes.
So everyone should aim to cook their chicken on the grill to at least 165 degrees. The only way you're going to know if you're hitting that number is to bring a metal stem probe thermometer.
Yep. Make sure you got a meat thermometer.
A meat thermometer.
A good griller is going to have a meat thermometer.
That's exactly right. And you just, you know, slide that thermometer into the thickest part of the meat when you think it's done.
Yeah.
And if it's not at 165, keep it on there a little bit longer.
That chicken breast shouldn't be even a little bit pink in the middle, should it?
There should not be any pink in the middle.
No. Or your pork either.
No. Ground meat, like ground hamburger, which you would make into hamburger patties, or big popular thing these days are the pork patties. That's ground pork, obviously. You want to make sure that you're cooking that to 155 degrees.
Gotcha.
They could, you know, the ground beef could have E. coli on it.
Yeah.
So cooking it to 155 would definitely kill that E. coli. And then if you're one of those people that likes to bring fish, or you want to do pork chops, or you want to do steaks on the grill, that temperature that you're aiming for is 145 degrees.
Okay. How about those brats? I'm a sucker for a brat, but sometimes I'll open that up, and it might be a little pink in there, and I go,
put it back on.
A little more mustard on that.
Yep.
That'll just...
That's a ground pork product, believe it or not.
Okay.
They press that into, you know, a casing to make that brat. So you definitely want to get that to 155 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's safe to eat.
So... That's a lot to remember for just, you know, we're going to, do you guys have any resources on your website or anything like that to help people out?
There is some food safety education on our website. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course there is.
My gosh, it just seems like there's a lot to think about. And what are some of the signs of, I mean, food poisoning, obviously, you know,
food poisoning, you know, probably the one thing that nobody likes to talk about is the big D word diarrhea.
Oh, boy.
There can be vomiting. There can be chills. You could have a fever, you know, a temperature, stomach cramps.
Yeah.
You really feel, anybody that's ever had food poisoning before, they always say, oh, man, it's the worst. So, you know, you have it. So so that's what we really want to prevent. But also a good rule of thumb, too, is to have some sort of hand washing or some way to wash your hands while you're out there at the picnic. Either it'd be nice, you know, if you have a restroom available, they can go in the restroom and wash their hands with soap and water and paper towels. That's the best scenario. But if you don't have access to hand washing, you can take a simple little hand washing station with you. You just take one of those big insulated coolers that you would take a drink to in a picnic that has a little spigot on the outside.
Yeah.
Fill that with some warm water, bring a little bottle of hand soap and a roll of paper towels, and you got an instant hand washing station and everybody can use it.
Aaron is no stranger to the radio station here. You've been on quite a bit. But we're going to be talking with you about sun safety and some other things going on here. But I kind of wanted to give people a little bit of a background of you're from this area.
I am from this area. Yeah. I'm actually born and raised in the Alexis North Henderson area. I'm an Alexis High School graduate, which is no longer. We are now United.
Right.
But, yeah, born and raised in that area. Have two kids, a farming husband. One of my kids just graduated from high school, and I got another one entering high school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been with the health department for quite a while.
Let's see. I started full-time in 2000.
Oh, wow.
So 2000, 2001. So I'm working on, you know, a little over 20 years.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you made it through the whole COVID situation, and
mm-hmm.
that was a challenge. We heard from you a lot during those years.
You were probably sick of me
point. No. We needed that assurance and the confidence that you and your team did great things for our community to keep people safe. So
anybody that goes into public health learns about pandemics and everything when you're in class, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go into public health, and that's never going to happen. And wow.
They teach you about that?
Yeah. I mean, you learn about pandemics, you know, in some of your public health classes. And I would agree, our staff did amazing.
Yeah.
We have amazing staff, and we learned as we went,
mm-hmm.
and we grew closer. We grew further apart with, you know, some disagreements at times, and then we came back together again. But we were a team the entire time, and it is something that all of us grew on. You know, we learned a lot, and we learned a lot about our community and how it came together and supported us, you know, wholeheartedly through that entire pandemic.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah Willits, you're the supervisor for Environmental Health Division. Are you from around this area, from this area?
Yeah, actually, Chris, I grew up in Monmouth,
Born
and raised in Monmouth, and went to school at Bradley. And
Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley.
My son is a mechanical engineer going to Bradley.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, it's a wonderful place over there. Yeah. What did you go? Did you go for environmental health?
No, actually, I went for foods and nutrition. My whole goal was to become a dietitian.
Oh, okay. So how did you end up in doing this?
Well, I was living in, when I got finished with school, I moved back to this area and started my job search. And my first job was in a food lab. Which I really enjoyed. I worked for Staley for a long time, and then they closed the plant. So then I tried to go back to school for a while, and then this job popped up, and I thought, oh, you know, public health, I wouldn't mind doing restaurant inspections. That would be kind of interesting. And here I am, 24 years later, still doing it.
Absolutely. Now, when we were off the mic and we're talking a little bit about your division, You both called it one of the core public health divisions of the health department. What does that mean?
Correct. So my division is the Environmental Health Division.
Mm-hmm.
When anyone wants to apply to have a health department in their county, one of the core programs that they have to have is the Environmental Health Division, because food, water, and sewage.
Yes.
And that would be, you know, food inspections, Water would be water wells and things like that. Hmm. And then sewage would be private sewage disposal systems outside of a public sewered area.
Okay.
Those are three of the main core programs that you have to have if you want to be a health department.
Right. It seems like those things are you do your job so well that we take them for granted that
yes,
everything's okay.
And, you're right.
Which is wonderful. You know, you've got a healthy environmental health division when you're taking these things like food safety, water quality,
sure,
sewage, septic, all that.
Well, and some of those things you don't think about, you know, if you if you've always lived in town and you've paid a sewer bill or a water bill, when you grow up and all of a sudden your significant other says, hey, you know, I'd really like to live out in the country, you don't think, okay, what's going to happen, where's the water going to come from out in the middle of nowhere?
That's right.
And where's the toilet going to flush to out in the middle of nowhere?
Hmm.
So you have to have a water well to supply water to your house, and you're going to have a private sewage septic system for the water to fully get treated when you're done with it and it's leaving the house.
That's
so
right.
So we're the division that issues those water well permits and septic permits, and that's who you come to get those permits.
We're talking about the 4th of July weekend, you know, and everybody getting together for the summer barbecues and all that. And one of the things that we tend to forget about is we're out in the sun a lot, and that can be dangerous.
It can. The UV lights that are out there are very dangerous, whether it's for our skin or for our eyes. So it's simple. You know, you want to make sure you have your hat on. Guy, girl, when you're out for the 4th of July and you're out in the heat already, you're not really going out to look your best, you know, to look good with all this. So
come on, I got to be fashionable here.
We all do. So you can get fashionable hats.
That's
but,
right.
You know, making sure you have, you know, some wider brimmed hats on. If you are going to be at the baseball diamond, whether you're going to be a park, you know, or a cookout, make sure you have those hats on. Make sure you have sunglasses on even little kids, because those UV lights are very, very damaging to them. So your hat will cover your face, will help cover your ears if you have a bigger, bigger hat. Making sure you're putting sunscreen on, and you want to, you know, reapply your sunscreen frequently.
Yeah.
You know, everybody kind of does it different. Some people do every hour. Some people do every 2 hours. And use lotion, use spray. You can use either. I just watched, was reading about a big study. They're both the same. You know, you can use them. You just want to, I've seen 15 and higher, and I've heard and saw an SPF of 30 or higher.
Okay.
So, you know, 30 is obviously going to give you some more protection, but making sure you're putting that sunscreen on and you're putting it on all over.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with it, if you're not underneath a tent, try to put on, you know, some longer sleeves. They don't have to be heavy. But just make sure you know your skin is covered, because that sun can be very, very dangerous to your skin. So sunscreen, slipping on, you know, a shirt, putting on your hat, putting on your sunscreen. And if you're going to be in and out of water, a big thing is to make sure you reapply.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, you know, kids run around a lot when they're out there. We got to make sure we grab them to reapply.
They
and
love
keep it
that,
on them.
Don't they?
No. Yeah, not really. Not all the
they
time.
They hate it so much.
But that sun, especially this weekend, where it is supposed to be incredibly hot out.
Yeah.
So making sure they're drinking plenty of water, you know, you, them, whoever it is, adult or kids, you need to keep yourself hydrated, which means, yes, you might want to have, you know, a pop or an adult beverage or, you know, lemonade or tea, but you also want to incorporate that really good water to keep you hydrated, because that caffeine will take it out of you.
That's right.
As you're going through. So hopefully, you know, you guys, you know, you guys are going to have a lot of people putting on sunscreen at your Big Bang Boom.
Oh, absolutely.
So making sure you just remember to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got that portable hand washing station that Sarah talked about, you can wash your hands when you're done putting it on.
That's right.
So just make sure you keep your family and yourself protected.
Absolutely.
If you've got pop-up tents, you know what?
Use
Pop them.
Them
up.
Yeah.
Use them. If you have the chairs with the awnings on, you know, like the bag chairs, you can get the awnings on.
Yeah.
Use them. Just make sure you stay protected, or use a shade tree to do that. You know,
very
park
good.
Yourself underneath the tree.
Aaron Olson, the public information officer at the Knox County Health Department. We're also talking with Sarah Willett. She's the environmental health supervisor of the environmental health division. And we were really digging into the food safety for the 4th of July. Your division is responsible for the health inspections for restaurants, but also other places here in businesses.
You know, anybody that sells food to the public or prepares food and serves it to the public, we're kind of responsible to make sure that they are properly licensed or permitted through the health department. We do a lot of education with those folks.
Okay.
But, you know, we inspect a lot of different places on a regular basis. Mm. You know, we talked about restaurants, bars, because ice is a food. So
sure.
If they do mixed drinks, that's important. Mm. How they wash their dishes and things. We do mm-hmm. grocery stores. We do gas stations. We do school kitchens, daycares, some of the daycares.
Wow.
So, you know, it covers a lot of all over the county,
a lot
of different places.
How big of a team do you have?
There's three of us in our division.
Three of
you? Yeah, there's
doing,
only three in the, for the entire county.
Doing all of that?
That's doing all of that. And,
wow.
Of course, that's just one food program. Yeah,
well,
that's
just...
That?
I'm sorry,
including
Aaron.
Wells and septics.
Yeah,
on
that's
top
just
of
one
all
program.
Food,
sure.
Those three people.
Yeah. Those three people, that's...
It's a lot. I mean,
that is a lot.
It is.
My gosh. So you probably get a lot of questions, Sarah, about the food safety. And, you know, I have people ask you, those food trucks, too, that are out there, though.
Right.
Those have to fall under
the
health
inspections. They do. We have probably three food trucks in Knox County that are fully licensed by us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
They have the opportunity, since they're fully licensed by us, to actually travel throughout the county and set up wherever they want, whenever they want, from our end of it.
Gotcha.
You know, we always encourage them to check with the local municipality to mm-hmm. make sure they're not stepping on any rules against any rules that they have.
Sure.
But there's a lot of public events, you know, that you see throughout the year. You just mentioned Big Bang Boom.
Yeah.
There's the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Knox County Fair, Railroad Days. They all serve food.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form, whether it's the carnival food vendors or private food vendors that are coming in. We get a lot of questions from the private food vendors, or sometimes from the people that are putting the events on.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we're going to have food vendors at this location, you know, for this event. What do we need to do? You know, so we try to give them enough information to, you know, have each and every food vendor reach out to us. We're going to issue them a temporary food permit for the time that they're going to be there serving food. We offer temporary food permits for events, and they have to be tied to an event. And they can be a one-day permit, which we do not charge anything for the one-day permit, or they can be 2 through 14 days. Where they're based in the same location,
gotcha.
You know, so that would cover 2 weekends of scenic drive. Mm. They're at the same location, but they're 2 different weekends. It's within a 14-day period. So we charge $45 this year for that permit.
Okay. Sarah Willett is the supervisor of the Environmental Health Division. We're talking about food safety, and I'm sure you get lots of questions. Is my event, what I'm doing, do I need a permit for that? You know, if I'm a local civic organization and I'm going to be cooking pancakes, or if I'm going to, you know, do apple fritters at the scenic drive or something, like I'm a youth group
right.
at the church selling, you know, baked potatoes
right.
for the scenic drive. Those all fall under that, right?
Those do all fall under needing to get a temporary food permit from the health department.
There's probably a lot that don't get licensed, are there?
There's quite a few. I shouldn't say quite a few. That's not a fair assumption.
Sure.
Let's put it this way. We can see things posted on Facebook that we don't have a temporary food permit for.
Right.
So
right.
if we have any way to contact them, we will reach out to them ahead of time and say, hey, you know, we saw this, you know, posted out in the media.
Yeah.
You do know that you need to get a temporary food permit. That's why I'm calling. Let's get you set up with one.
Gotcha.
So we like to work with everybody to make sure that we can get them, you know, properly permitted.
Sure.
We also do a lot of education with them.
Good.
When we reach out to them, or if they reach out to us, the first thing we do is, you know, find out what the event is, how long you're going to be there, what kinds of food you're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of area are you going to be serving out of? Do you have a food truck already available? Are you going to set up a tent with some tables? You know, we go over how you're going to keep things hot, or you know how you're going to cook things.
Yeah.
There are temporary food rules that they have to follow. So basically, the day of the event, they have to cook the food there the day of the event at the location that they're going to serve it. We don't want them to cook it at home and then
bring it,
transport it. Mm. You know, we don't know if you have a clean kitchen at home.
Sure.
We don't know if you have the proper way to transport it. So, you know, you can keep it hot while you're transporting, or keep it cold while you're transporting. So we want all that to be done on site the day of the event.
Gotcha.
And we don't want anything left over at the end of the day. If you're going to be there more than 1 or 2 days, we don't want anything left over at the end of the first day to be held over and reserved the next day. We want you to start with fresh the next day.
Gotcha.
So there are some things, you know, that they have to follow.
And of course, you know, those are the people that you probably contact. They go, oh, I didn't realize I needed that.
So yeah, that happens. Sure.
But I'm sure every now and then there are those that go, eh, what are they going to do?
What
are they going to do? There are consequences.
There are consequences. So, you know, if they...
For those that are trying to get away with something, yeah.
Yeah. If they forget until the last minute,
yeah.
And then they reach out to us, you know, we do have a late fee. If they want to apply for a temporary food permit, whether it's a one-day event that's for free, they don't have to pay for the permit, or whether it's 2 through 14 days.
Yeah.
If it's on a Saturday and they wait until Friday to contact us, we charge a $20 late fee.
Sure,
you know, because I have to scramble and figure out, okay, we're going to have to go inspect this person on Saturday. Now I've got to pull, you know, employees and figure out how I'm going to get them down there to get that inspection done.
But those people that went ahead and did it anyway and didn't contact, knew that they needed to do it, but didn't do it because they thought, what are they going to do?
We can fine them, and that fine can be up to $100 in addition to any permit fees that would apply.
Because we've had, finally had some rain, now we have to worry about mosquitoes coming back.
Right.
Right. And part of the Environmental Health Division is you're dealing with that mosquito trapping and
sure.
all that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we operate the West Nile Virus Grant, the Vector Surveillance Grant through the Illinois Department of Public Health. So that's a program that we are very involved in, beginning about the 1st of May all the way through October 15th. It's very important to know that, you know, when you go outside, you don't want to get eaten by mosquitoes. The mosquitoes around here, some of the Culex mosquitoes, which are female mosquitoes, can be they're the ones that do the biting.
Yeah.
They can also transmit West Nile virus, which is a horrible virus to get.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time over the summer moving. We trap mosquitoes all summer long. We will trap in 3 different locations every week. We set those traps up in shady areas that are within a mile or two of a water source because mosquitoes like to lay their eggs in stagnant water. So when we talked about the rain just a minute ago, now that we're starting to get rain and there's starting to be puddles and there's starting to be, you might have some things in your backyard that hold water, bird baths, an empty bucket, a wheelbarrow that's upright.
Yeah.
Things that hold water where water's not moving, that's where mosquitoes really like to lay their eggs. And they can lay a lot of eggs in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And those can grow up to be big mosquitoes that can be biters. So we want to encourage everybody all summer long to, you know, let's prevent the mosquitoes in the first place. Let's get rid of standing water. I mentioned bird baths. You know, probably you need to dump that water every 5 days and, you know, put in fresh water, clean it out and put in fresh water so that those mosquitoes don't have a time they can lay their eggs in there, but they don't have time to hatch.
Got it.
You know, if you've got a wheelbarrow sitting upright and you got standing water in it, tip it over, dump it out, maybe flip the wheelbarrow upside down so it won't hold water on the next rain and so forth. So
Sarah Willett is the supervisor of the Environmental Health Division for the Knox County Health Department. Talking about mosquitoes, you trap the mosquitoes. Are you testing them for West Nile?
We are testing them for West Nile virus.
How are we doing here in Knox County?
Well, we're doing very good so far. Warren County just announced that they had a positive mosquito pool that they tested last week, I believe.
It was last week.
We haven't gotten ours yet, and we hope not to get one. That's our goal, is to not find any positive mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And again, it's a specific kind of mosquito that we're testing.
Have you had any years that didn't have it?
Yes.
Okay.
We have.
So that does happen. It's not.
And we've had years where we've had, you know, 1 or 2 positive mosquito pools over the years.
So is it more common to not have than it is to have?
We tend to not have more than we do have, which is a good sign.
Yeah. So how do you know? Okay. You said it's a very nasty disease. I'm not real sure of what. I've heard of West Nile. I'm not real sure. When you say it's a pretty nasty thing to get, what are we talking about?
West Nile virus can cause quite a few symptoms that are neurological that can turn into some very serious symptoms. So, you know, you might experience dizziness, you know, lack of balance.
Yeah.
You're tired all the time. And I'm not a nurse or, you know,
sure,
a doctor.
Right,
so I,
right.
you know, there's probably more symptoms involved. But I do know that, you know, around our area, there are a lot of doctors and nurses that will ask those questions to kind of see if, you know, if you're having some symptoms that they just can't really come up with the diagnosis for,
yeah.
they're going to ask some further questions. And that might be one of them,
okay.
you know. Do you spend a lot of time outdoors? You know, have
yeah.
you, are you around mosquitoes a lot? Do
yeah.
you have ticks, you
yeah.
know, in your area?
Right,
and
right.
some of the stuff when you're out, you know, when you're out and about, we talked about sun safety and wearing, you know, like long sleeves,
yes.
long pants. Same thing. If you're going to an area that is damp, you know, swampy, there is a lot of water and there may be a lot of mosquitoes. It's putting on, you know, your certain bug spray. It's putting on,
yeah.
you know, the longer, you know, the thinner
yeah.
long sleeve pants, the
right.
shirt, wearing socks,
yeah.
you know, not wearing your flip flops when you're out. But it's protecting your skin
yeah.
from getting those bites, you know, and helping with
right.
that also.
Now,
exactly.
Sarah, you brought up ticks. Of course,
yes.
we're talking Lyme disease too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you guys look for ticks? And
we
all,
do not.
You're not doing that.
No,
okay.
We do not. There are some health departments that do tick surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussed it in great depth and would like to do the tick surveillance. We do encourage people that are out and about to, like Aaron just mentioned, you know, protect themselves
yeah.
with clothing, make sure that they put on, you know, some tick repellent or mosquito repellent, usually
mm.
in the same, it's the same repellent.
Sure.
Check themselves over as soon as they come in from an outdoor activity
yeah.
Because ticks, you know, they can be very, very small, just the size of the tip of a pen
yeah.
All the way up to, you know, the half of your little fingernail. So
right.
You should check areas that are, you know, creases like armpits,
mm-hmm.
folds of your skin, up in your hair, you know, behind your ears and things like that where it's
yeah.
kind of warm and sweaty. They like to... If they get on you, they'll crawl to those places
because
yeah. they're good places for them to hide and get embedded.
Check
so.
Your kids' hair and your
check
pets.
Your pets.
Your pets, too.
Pets
right?
are a huge thing.
They
we
are.
Just did a bunch of – we did quite a few posts last week just with, you know, checking your animals because this heat and the ticks can, you know, be very, very dangerous to
That's
your
right.
pets also.
Aaron Olson is the public information officer for the Knox County Health Department. Sarah Willett is the supervisor for Environmental Health Division at the Health Department. And so much information to take in because there's so many things we take for granted. And we just need to be safe out there. And here we are, 4th of July weekend. We started off talking about that food safety. Want to remind people that if you're having get-togethers, again, you're going to be outside. Make sure you get your bug repellent on. That's a great thing to talk about. And the sun safety. Make sure you got your sunscreen and all that. But also make sure you're watching the food.
That's
and
right.
being safe with that, right?
That's right.
And if you have any questions, do people call you just for...
We get a lot of phone calls
yeah.
every week with people with questions, and,
yeah.
and no question is a dumb question.
Yeah.
If they call and they have questions, you know, 99% of the time we have answers for them. Sometimes we have to, you know, tell them, you know what, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, let me reach out to somebody that might have a little more knowledge than that, and I'll give you a call right back.
But that's right.
We definitely want to educate because the more education that we push out, the more knowledge that people have, the less opportunity that they're going to have to get in trouble with sun, you know, sun damage
oh,
and mosquito bites and all sorts of
and food
fun
poisoning,
stuff.
Right?
Food poisoning.
Don't leave that food out for more than if you got potato salad sitting out. 2 hours is the limit there.
It's a two-hour rule for picnics. Yeah.
No, and like at your picnics, you see a lot of people now. They look like big inner tubes that you blow up, and people pack them full of ice.
Oh yeah.
And set your food, you know, some mm-hmm. of your cold stuff
yeah.
in them. Is it going to probably keep it cold that much longer? No, but at least your food is on ice
yeah.
for a little bit when you're serving
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's a great
I do
idea.
Want to mention one last thing I
yes,
didn't talk
course.
About in the
no.
food safety.
Sure.
So when you're grilling out and you bring out a plate of raw meat, so let's say you have a bunch of raw hamburger patties on a plate,
yeah.
you bring them out and you put them on the grill, make sure you take that plate back and either wash it or if it's a paper plate, throw it away.
Mm.
Get a new plate, a clean plate, when you come to take that food off the grill. You never want to mix raw meat juice with cooked food because then you can
yeah.
get into trouble.
How often do people take that? The pan that they brought the burgers out,
to put on the grill. That's the same pan you to pick up the.
That's exactly right.
That you bring
and
back.
And they might even use the same, you know, spatula or tongs too.
That's right.
They should definitely either get a separate pair, separate plate, or have some way to clean those.
Sarah, I'm sitting here in my head going, "Do I do that? Oh my God! I think I do that.
I think we've all done it at some point.
I think we have too. Well, I really appreciate you both coming in to talk to us, and so many things for us to think about. Thank you to you and your team, Sarah, for everything you do.
Well, thank
to
you
to keep the county safe.
We enjoy doing it, and we do feel like we make a difference.
You
so hopefully
do.
Everybody else feels that
That's
way too.
Right. Aaron, thank you again.
Thank you.
And I hope you both have a safe and happy 4th of July.
Thank you. You too.